And now the weather. And after that, more weather. And then some weather. That's the offer from a new DAB Plus station, which is opening shortly in Portsmouth. We'll have more on that in this episode of Radio Today's weekly podcast, along with the news and radio moments.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Hello, I'm Trevor Down. Weather 24/7 Radio is the name of the new station. It comes from Angel Radio, which, as well as broadcasting its pure nostalgia music format on FM in parts of Hampshire, online and on several DAB muxes, also operates the experimental mini mux serving Portsmouth. The weather station is the brainchild of Ash Elford, who, when he's not driving trains, yes, he's genuinely multi-platform, is Angel's digital development manager.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
What's it going to sound like, Ash?
Well, in a nutshell, you will be able to hear the weather for the Portsmouth area for the next 72 hours. So within a 3 to 4 minute loop, depending on the time of day, you'll hear the weather for now, for the morning, the afternoon, the evening, overnight, tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, and the day after that. And you'll be able to hear what the temperature is, what the temperature will feel like, so things like the wind chill, the wind speed, wind direction, the percentage chance of rain, the humidity, and if it's relevant, if there's going to be a high UV index or poor visibility. So everything you need to know about the weather in the Portsmouth area.
So don't people in Portsmouth have smartphones, Ash, where they can just find this stuff out without having to change radio stations?
Yes. I mean, there are lots of outlets to find out the weather. I mean, I know the BBC Weather app is a popular one, for example, and of course the Met Office published their data online. However, as far as the radio is concerned, if you want to listen to weather news on the radio, it's usually bolted onto the end of newscasts. And even then, it's only daytime. And what we're doing is, if you're out and about in the car, or perhaps it's not convenient to have your smartphone out, then, you know, in the space of a couple of minutes, you're able to listen to the weather on the radio.
OK, so do you have ambitions to make this national or even international? I mean, presumably Portsmouth is only the start.
Well, we'll see how it goes. The interesting thing with Portsmouth is that Portsmouth has its own microclimate. So although we have local radio stations, because they cover, you know, generally speaking, the southern Hampshire area, what is appropriate for towns nearby Portsmouth may not be applicable to Portsmouth itself. For example, in Portsmouth, there are fewer frosts in the winter time. It's rarer that it snows than the surrounding area in Portsmouth. However, the way that the channel is set up, it could be rolled out to other towns or even nationally as appropriate. But as far as Angel Radio is concerned, for the time being, this is very much a Portsmouth project.
So just to be clear, you're not going to pad this out with lots of music by the Weather Girls, and we're not going to have Singing in the Rain. I could imagine if my good friend Roy Martin was running this, there'd be a lot of climate records interspersed.
I know. It's funny reading some of the comments on Radio Today about the Weather 24/7 radio and the weather-related songs, but no music. For us, it's about being on demand and the weather information being there pretty much straight away. But on our Portsmouth DAB Minimux, we do carry a radio station called Cheesy FM, and fans of weather theme songs may well get their fix over there.
So tell me about Angel Radio, which you have a connection to. How well is that doing now? Because that is spreading across the country a bit.
Yes, so these DAB Minimux trials have really given Angel an opportunity to expand across the country at a lower cost than what it might otherwise have been on the commercial multiplexes. Angel has been established now in its current guise for the last 17 years, and we have an awareness of where people listen to us around the country online, and we do join mini-muxes where that's appropriate. So we don't have an ambition necessarily to be on everywhere in the UK, but where it's appropriate for us and we know that people do listen to us already one way or the other, then that's of interest to us to broadcast on digital radio.
And how different is it for us as consumers that you're on DAB Plus and not DAB? I mean, given that many of the first, if not, well, all the first generation of digital radios can't receive DAB Plus, how much does that, you know, make you less accessible than perhaps you would like to be?
Is that a Angel Radio question or a Weather 24/7 Radio question?
That's an Angel Radio question.
Okay, because Angel Radio is only on as a DAB Plus station in Norwich. So everywhere else, we're available in standard DAB. And that would be our default position. However, we have to be realistic about joining multiplexes. And if it's more affordable to be DAB Plus, or if there's only capacity for DAB Plus, then we will take that slot as opposed to not being there at all. I would say, though, that based on our experience of running the Portsmouth Minimux, I think that there are more DAB Plus radios in circulation than perhaps we had first thought. So although I don't think there's a precise number, it would seem that there are a lot of radios in circulation that support DAB Plus, even though they don't explicitly say so. And also, earlier DAB radios, perhaps people bought 15 or so years ago, have entered retirement themselves. And so I suppose if people really want to listen to our station, which we hope they will, then DAB Plus radios are not particularly expensive these days. So hopefully they'll make a trip to their local electrical retailer to purchase one.
I'm quite interested in how much time it takes to run a station like this, which obviously needs a certain amount of updating, doesn't it? Well, if not 24/7, at least regularly. Is it just you doing it, you know, with your laptop?
Well, it's quite interesting you ask that question. So Weather 24/7 Radio is a totally automated radio station. So there's been a lot of work over the last couple of months to set the station up. So we've had a bespoke playout system built for us, and it sources data from the Met Office. And whenever the Met Office publish an update, be it for the weather situation now or in advance, then within a 5 to 10 minute period, we will update it on air. And basically, the voice you'll hear on air is my voice. I've recorded over 300 separate links, depending on all the possible weather scenarios that we could expect. And we would like to have a proper voiceover, but for the time being, as this is a new project, I am the station voice. But hopefully with those 300 lines that have been recorded, it should always be up to date for the time of day. And that's one of the reasons why it's taken so long to make, because I did think at the beginning a roster of presenters could record 3 or 4 minute forecasts and then they could be played out on a loop. But then, you know, sometimes the weather does suddenly change and we would be at the mercy of waiting for someone to record more up-to-date broadcast. So that's why we've gone down the fully automated route.
So you're the voice of Weather 24/7. Many of us in the radio world will remember you from Global and Arqiva and other places you've worked. Of course, these days you drive trains, which is just so romantic. I cannot believe. Do you practice presenting on your consumers, on your passengers?
Well, yeah, thankfully these days I drive a route that has a conductor on it, so they do all that for me. But yes, in the past, I used to drive trains without a conductor, and you make the best effort you can to get people to listen to your message. I remember listening to your previous podcast. I think you interviewed James Beckingham about train driving.
Yes,
and radio.
Indeed. Yes.
My announcements were never as polished as James's.
Is it a thing that people start in radio and go into trains? Is that becoming, a kind of career progression?
It's interesting, isn't it, that we have very fanatical radio anoraks who can remember what jingle was played on what day on what radio station. and railway anoraks obviously very thorough about their knowledge of the industry. But this may interest you. One thing that surprised me when I started working in the railway is actually there are quite a few people on the railway who are interested in radio. Uh-huh. So there may be a few of my colleagues who are in the closets about their love of radio who, after hearing this, might feel brave enough to approach me.
Well, you should be talking to all your employers and potential employers and telling them to improve their Wi-Fi on their trains so that we could actually listen to the radio more easily.
I know, it's difficult as well, isn't it, with the metallic coatings that are on windows on trains. But the funny thing with the on-train Wi-Fi is I believe most Wi-Fi systems are no more elaborate than, you know, glorified 3G dongles. So I guess it's down to the mobile phone networks to do their parts as well. So for now, you may have to just listen to Radio Today broadcast as you do your journey.
Excellent. Good advice at any time. Ash Alford, thank you. Good luck with Angel Radio, but especially good luck with Weather 24/7. When do you actually go on air?
We launch on Thursday, the 1st of September.
Thanks for talking to the Radio Today programme. We'll go swiftly on to the news with Stu Clarkson.
Yes, thanks, Trevor. Brighton's Juice 107.2 has gone back to full local ownership this week as UKRD sells its majority share in the station after just over a year. Lawrence Elphick returns as managing director, while the new chairman is Ryan Heal, who's been on the board a few years. Colin Murray's replacement on mid-mornings at Talk Sports has been announced as Jim White from Sky Sports. Colin's finishing this week after saying he couldn't work with the company under the ownership of News Corp. More People news, and former Key 103 Breakfast co-host Chelsea Norris is joining BBC Radio Manchester for a Saturday morning show during September. She teams up with the station's breakfast presenter Phil Trowe. Good luck to LBC chief correspondent Tom Swarbrick, who's left Global this week. He's off to be head of broadcast at Downing Street, no less. Also leaving Global is Gareth James, who's been managing editor at Heart and Smooth Thames Valley. Gareth was previously at BRNB, Capital and Choice. He's joining Celador as programme editor for the Sam FM network and Fire Radio. As you've been hearing, there's a new station launching on DAB in Portsmouth this week. It's the UK's first all-weather radio station, called Weather 24/7. More details have been released about the first Community Radio Awards on September the 10th. They're taking place in Birmingham after the CMA conference. Organisers say 235 nominations have been received across 16 categories. The former CMA chair Dom Chambers will host the awards. And head to radiotoday.co.uk for a look at the new Capital TV advert if you've not seen it yet. It premiered during X Factor last weekend. It's got a new message, only on Capital, and features Capital presenters alongside artists including Justin Bieber, Ariana Grande, Calvin Harris and Little Mix. And that's the latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Stuart Clarkson.
Thank you, Stu. Stuart will be in this chair looking after the next two podcasts, so please join him for those. I'll be back for the next radio special on September the 21st. David Lloyd after this.
Your best content, shareable and discoverable on any platform. Oasis from Broadcast Bionics helps you build a closer relationship with your listeners. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
Here we go. It's 26 years now since the BBC had its first bash at a fifth national station.
You're listening to BBC Radio 5 on Monday, the 27th of August, 1990, as the clock ticks towards the launch of Britain's first new national network in 23 years on 909 and 693 AM, T-minus 90 minutes and counting.
One, two, three, four! One, two, three, four! Three, five!
Welcome to the brand new network and the first special holiday programme on Radio 5. Take 5. I'm Bruno Brooks. We've got some great music for you.
One, two, three, four.
Happy times for Bruno Brooks. I bet he remembers that day, the launch of the original Radio 5 on the old Radio 2 AM frequency. It was all about sport, kids' programmes and education. It lasted just 4 years. Now, that station was very definitely in mono, even though stereo broadcasting had been pioneered many years before. It was this week in 1962 that we heard the first regular stereo broadcasts. They were on FM or VHF, as we called it, via the BBC's third programme network. The early broadcasts had transmitted one channel on the radio and another on the telly.
Jimmy Kingsbury is going to give a few directions for anyone who may be listening to stereophonic broadcasting for the first time.
And to do so, I'm now moving from your right to a central position.
Right.
Well, you need two receivers to hear this broadcast stereophonically.
Careful.
The one on the left should be tuned to Network 3, preferably on VHF, and the right-hand receiver to BBC television sound. The loudspeakers should be about the same height from the floor and spaced 6 to 10 feet apart.
It's simple when you know how, isn't it? Happy birthday, stereo, this week, 54 years ago. Jam is probably the Jingle Anorak's favourite production company, based in Dallas and responsible for the richest harmonies ever heard on station identifications. Radio 1 went to Jam for the first time this week, 40 years ago.
And that's it for the moment. Our next 247 news is at 11:30.
Thursday! It's National Radio 1. Tony Blackburn.
I don't believe a word of it, though, do you? It's a
Radio 1.
Workers' call time.
It's a great good morning.
Yes, good morning to you, and welcome along to all those of you hard at work.
We don't even have to say the day of the week anymore. I mean, if I wanted to say, I don't even have to say the date.
Monday.
And the next record coming up is going to be from the year
1959.
Very shortly, we'll just have to sit here.
Tony Blackburn pressing the cart buttons with glee and playing the first Jam jingles licensed for Radio 1 this week in 1976. And this week in 79, Tony played Jam jingles, amongst others, as he hosted his first Top 40.
Number 17, Chwaddy Waddy, Sweet Little Rock and Roller. If you just joined us, welcome to the Top 40. My very first one, Tony Blackburn here with you. Going terribly well, isn't it? If you don't agree, please don't ring up. 2 minutes now past 6 o'clock. This is going to be one of my favourites at the moment. It's up 7 places to number 16.
Tony Blackburn beginning his reign on the chart this week 37 years ago. Commercial radio back then wasn't really allowed American jingles, but by this week 25 years ago, they could use them, which was just as well for this rebrand in Bradford.
Independent Radio News.
Thank you very much. It's 3 minutes past five, Friday, August the 30th, 1991. I'm Elliot Webb, and this is the UK's newest radio station, The Pulse.
All hit
Good grief, trigger happy or what? Well done, Elliot. Happy Silver Jubilee to The Pulse, launching this week in 1991. It had been Pennine Radio. You see, there's nothing wrong with English jingles. Another quick rebrand now. The BBC's Network 3 became the third network this week in 1964.
This is Network 3. I'll repeat that.
But please do.
This is Network 3. It's something new in sound broadcasting. In fact, it's the first time that these words have been heard on the air. They mark the beginning of a new BBC service, quite different from anything we've done or experienced in past years.
Hello to the third network this week, 52 years ago, and that was the old Network 3. Margaret Hubbell was on air at the BBC for 30 years, hosting Woman's Hour and Family Favourites back in the 1950s, and she died this week 10 years ago.
Well, I've got a script, the original script, actually, of Family Favourites here, which, would just give you the screaming ab-dabs, actually, if you look at it, and I'll do a bit for you. The signature tune, even from the start, was With a Song in My Heart. On the script it says, BBC passed for security. Even then, we were still censored with every word we said, which was a bit inhibiting, and you'll know what I mean when you hear this script. Hello there. Well, as you've just heard, this is your programme entirely, and the first edition of Family Favourites has been selected from letters we've received from listeners all over Britain. You've asked us to play your tune.
The wonderful Margaret Hubbell, who died this week in 2006, aged 91. September is a big switch-on month for many stations, just in time for that final quarter's audience survey. And it's happy 35th anniversary to this one.
Hello, this is Eric Smith inviting you to join me from 9 a.m. on Tuesday the 1st of September for the mid-morning show on Radio Air. The brightest music, competitions, features and news through the morning from 9 till 12. We're going to have a good time together, so I hope you make sure you're on station 94.6 on VHF in stereo or 362 metres, 828 kilohertz on the medium wave on that very first day, Tuesday, September the 1st.
We're on air.
birthday to Radio Air in Leeds, on air on the old BBC Leeds frequency this week in 81. Is it really 3 years since we lost David Jacobs?
Basically, what David taught me was, it's not all about you.
I think the thing you learn from the really great broadcasters like David Jacobs is that they are successful because the person they are on the air is the same person that they are off the air. He also taught me that, as he said, when you're my age, Jeremy, you need to wear braces. Belts don't work anymore. The music I associate with David is the music that I associate with the old Radio 2. And there was much about Radio 2 20 years ago that was phenomenally good. But chiefly, it would have to be the one I feel my memory says he played every day, which is Skyrockets in Flight, Afternoon Delight. Afternoon Delight. Bless you, David.
I've always made an absolute point of trying to understand who the people are that I'm broadcasting to. So that is the main purpose of one's attitude to broadcasting. And I think that broadcasting is an art. And I think that when people really want to get in and study an art, they have to work at it very hard and be dedicated to it.
Hello there. Fond tributes to Radio 2's urbane David Jacobs, who died this week in 2013 after 7 decades on air. So, with the death of 60s superstar DJ Simon D this week 7 years ago...
Thank you for listening. Good night and take care of yourselves. Good night.
The Asian station Harmony opening in Coventry 26 years ago. Later Kicks, Now Touch.
Starting off in this first hour is Pop Up the... Bangla.
The launch of Century Radio in the Northeast, 22 years ago, Now Heart.
It's 7 a.m. and a star is born.
And Radio 1 FM, Switch On Day, 28 years ago.
No more mushy medium wave with all that interference.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
David Lloyd's Radio Moments.
Sorry, more Radio Moments from David next week when Stuart Clarkson pilots the good ship RTP. This has been a TDC production. Thank you for listening. I'll see you at the next radio conference on September the 19th. Come say hello. Cheers.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.